Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are.
Good morning.
On, End Times Friday. This will be airing July the 26th, which is Friday the 26th. Lots happening in the world, that's for sure.
Oh, goodness, yes.
By the time, we're actually taping right ahead of this, so lots have happened. We've had the debate that happened between Biden and Trump. Biden, obviously, because of, I think, of his just natural aging, is struggling, physically.
Right, right.
And it's not, particularly as we evaluate it, particularly as believers, we don't look at it as good or bad. It just kind of is that, it's not his fault. Everybody, by the way. and we all understand that we all are going to age. Mm-hmm. And at one point, it's going to be because of incapacity and disease that we're going to pass on, and we all are subject to that,
right,
and not immune from that. And I think that's just in his timing of his physicalness, he's starting to really experience it.
Can I insert before you even move on further on that? Just a little side thing that I have seeing and hearing so much negative about how the debate went and in terms of him. And just a reminder out there, as Christians, we are to lead with love and honor. And whether you are behind the policies of a person or not, honoring that person as being created in God's image is an important thing. So I'm just going to put that reminder out there to people to mind your words, mind your heart, and pay attention to what God says, and how you're treating a person. And particularly you look at the aging thing, it's an interesting thing for me to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to kind of put a point on that of, and because it tends to line up political, positions, and then we can say, well, even interesting enough, their own party of, isn't that awful? And he should. And, I said, first of all, his struggling is physical, and it's normal.
Right.
And so, don't be upset with the person, and certainly don't condemn the person. It's just normal consequence of aging.
Right.
And we're all going to do it. I've actually, interesting enough, been dealing with a couple people that are struggling. They're believers, and they're struggling with physical things, and they're older. And certain things have happened to them, and their question has been, why did this happen to me? And I'm trying to help them understand something is, well, wait a second. Don't you understand that everybody in the world is going to have this happen to them?
Right.
So don't think it's unusual. Really, it's about as this happens to you, as you age, and I said, what would be your desire? And it would be, well, that I enjoy the days I have left, and that when I go, I go. And I said, well, maybe that's how we should start looking at it, and that it would actually be something that you would have good capacity to enjoy the days you have, and then when the time is time, remember, everybody's going to die of a disease, of a sickness, of an illness, of a failure of our body, but we get to go into the next place.
Right.
And all of our desire would be that we don't have a prolonged, painful experience while that you know, time is happening, you know, so that I think your comment about respect is just don't attack the person for what's going on. We can observe it and say, you know, probably is he going to last another 4 years? I don't think so. Because of it, maybe there would be a way for him to exit in an honorable way, and then let whoever they're going to put in place, you know, put in place. I believe, first of all, that this was reasonably part of his life 4 years ago. That, remember, they didn't allow him to get out. And because I think he struggled with the ability to process stuff. And for 4 years, he's been, you know, being guided by his team, teleprompters and what to do, you know, and little funny things happen where he reads a direction, you know, pause. I'm supposed to pause. You know, hey, I can't answer anybody's questions today. I can only answer these questions that these they gave me to answer. So, you know, he's being directed, and that's pretty, you know, pretty clear. And because of it, with the debate, I do believe that the people who are orchestrating it, I think they knew what was going to be the outcome, the reaction. Even amongst his own party, that, hey, you should step down. But he's kind of defiant about that. I'm not stepping down.
Right.
But what I think, and we're actually going to talk about this in terms of the prophetic, is that my sense, which I have yet to confirm, is that they're trying to get him to the convention and then make a switch, or they're going to leave him in. And particularly with what happened with Trump with the assassination attempt last week, that I believe that at the moment, Trump would gain victory over Biden. And I think if they put anybody else up, with perhaps the exception of Michelle Obama, that he would win the election. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're doing it. But if he was told you need to step down, I think he would. But because he's defiant, they're telling him, don't step down yet. I don't want you stepping down yet. And I think because there's something happening as to who they're going to put in place for that, which I believe is, and we can observe this, we'll see, because their convention is going to come up in mid-August. Are they trying to get him to the convention?
Interesting, yeah.
And we'll see it. But because of what's happening, and particularly with what happened with Trump, you know, certainly miraculous, you know, that he wasn't killed. That's for sure.
Right, right.
And so you could say, you know, did God intervene? I think so. And the key to that is to be careful not to anoint him as higher than he is, which is a politician, you know, who's running for office, because the Christian world could take that as, in a sense, he's a mini savior, and that if he gets in power, our country's going to go back to where we all intended it to be, which is to be a Christian nation.
Right, which is, again, putting your hope in a person or a political party rather than in Jesus.
Right, right, and that's what we want to talk about. And by the way, as a setup to this, I would urge you all to go back and listen to our July 4th devotion that we had about the country. But we really, I think, helped people understand what their original purpose was. It wasn't to set up a Christian nation. It was to set up a nation with great freedom of choice so that people could have an opportunity to choose Christ and never to have the state shut that down.
Right.
That was their intention, you know? And so it wasn't separation of church and state. They thought the people that believed in Christ, believed in certain things, would represent what they believe freely. So they wanted that all to be a free choice, but it was never to set up a Christian nation or to force Christianity, which, by the way, if you look at history, that's what the Crusades was all about. Because the church tried to force people to become believers or be killed. And I don't think that was the intention of the original fathers.
I don't think so either.
And they actually were trying to protect against that. Mm-hmm. You know, may the government never start to come against Christians and shut them down, which, interesting enough, in our lifetime we're seeing to somewhat of policy because of under the guise of separation of church and state. So as we look at these dramatic events coming up, and the election and the outcome of the election, and what's happening with Biden physically, and what just happened with Trump and his popularity, we want to urge people to really keep looking to God, because there's a consequence if we don't. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about prophets and false prophets. So if you would, Kathy, go to Jeremiah chapter 5 and read verses, I think it's, what did I tell you on that?
20 to 31.
Yeah, Jeremiah 5, 20 to 31.
Sure. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?
Yeah. So, and first of all, who's he talking about? His own people.
Yeah.
This is the children of Israel, his nation. So these are, consider this to be the children of God. Mm-hmm. So he's speaking to them. He's not speaking to the world here. He already knows the world isn't going to accept anything he has to say. So he's not saying this about them. He's saying about his own people.
Right.
That, and he describes them as rebellious and defiant. Mm-hmm. They've departed from following him. They're not saying, let's follow God, who's a great, you know, creator. As a result of that, he said, good things are being withheld, but they basically think they're doing fine. Mm-hmm. They seem to be prospering. And he said the prophets are prophesying falsely, and the priests are ruling without the power of God. They're ruling on their own power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you think of a false prophet,
right?
What would be a simple definition of a false prophet?
Someone who's sharing anything other than the gospel, for one,
but claiming,
saying that he's God, speaking on behalf of God,
that the scriptures say, or God says, or I've been given a word, and this is God's word, but God said, well, they're doing this falsely.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing for me, and he said, The whole reason is that the people are loving experiencing, and this is what I want it to be. So as we look at the election, the admonition here is be careful that you don't get wrapped up in the political scenario where they become the answer. And then we all want it to be so. And, yeah, we want something to happen so that we return to what we call a Christian nation, and Trump and his administration is going to do it. We want that. Are we joining that because we want it? And then people are falsely prophesying about it, God says. And so the just to be careful about that, one. Okay, now go over to Jeremiah 14 and do 11 through 16.
Then the Lord said to me, "Do not pray for this people and for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, 'You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place.' And the Lord said to me, 'The prophets' prophecy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, a divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them."
Okay. So he says, certain people are going to say certain things that I said, God say, speaking, but they're false.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually prophesying lies. And why? Why are they prophesying lies?
For their own agenda.
Yeah.
For what they want to put forward and for what people want to hear.
And not because why? Because God said it. He said,
I
haven't said this stuff.
Right.
It's false. And I'm urging you to have discernment between truth and false.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there's going to be a lot of false prophets who are going to speak as if this is godly, but it's not. Because my words are not being represented properly, and they're not hearing from me. And again, why would anybody claim to be a false prophet? Because they say, "I'm hearing from God."
Mm-hmm.
Why is it false? They're not hearing from God.
Right.
They're divining it, you know, themselves. As we're looking at this, he said in a very, and by the way, Paul writes about this in the very end and says many false prophets are going to rise up as we approach the end. And I believe that to be true. And remember, false prophets is coming from the Christian community. It's not just, you know, people of the world saying certain things. It's people who are saying, we believe that this is truth, and we want everybody to receive that truth. Now let's go. He said, well, here's how you are to approach it. So go to 2 Peter 1, 16 to 21.
2 Peter 1, 16 to 21 says, "For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so God is saying that prophecy is to be submitted to the public interpretation. In other words, don't let it be private. And so what happens is that the deception is done because I believe that I'm representing God, and I'm speaking it as if it's God, but I've never really processed it with anybody else. And we have great example of this actually at the last election that, you know, there were certain people that two elections ago when Trump was elected said that, you know, God said that Trump would be elected, and he was. So that's good. That was interesting. Well, the same people, when he was defeated by Biden, and they, you know, Trump and his group claimed it was a stolen election, and they were going to fight it. These same people spoke that Trump was going to get it back and that he would still remain the president. And because all this was going to come back to him, he was going to win the battle. And because they had prophesied accurately 4 years ago, and they spoke this, a whole group of Christians supported that.
Right.
And yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you can trust it. And because they said it, and, you know, but, and at the time, and this, remember, this would be in December of 2020, even then, because what we do, you and I do, and what others we help do is we take what somebody says, and it's really simple. If somebody says something declaring it to be from God, what is our basic simple question that we ask?
God, what do you have to say about
this?
Did you really, going to him, did you really say?
God, is this really what you're saying? And right. And because of the Holy Spirit, at the time, even I said, God said, no, I didn't. And I would speak that out. I'd say, I wouldn't say God said, I would just say, I would be careful to receive what they've saying is true. I can't confirm that. I would urge you to go seek God. And by the way, it turned out to be false. So, and this is why in the New Testament, you got to be careful of prophet because it says, and this is in 1 Corinthians 12, prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. But it's manifested, and it'll be manifested to everybody and anybody as the Spirit so decides. So could you today be given a prophetic word? Yeah.
Yes.
Does that mean you're a permanent prophet? No.
No.
And what happens is that they've misinterpreted, I got a prophecy correct. Okay, now I'm a prophet, and everybody sees me as a prophet. I got to keep speaking what God says, but I start to bring in my own stuff and and declare it as if God said it, and it becomes false prophecy. Because, interesting enough, God said, well, that was never the intention. Don't claim yourself a prophet. Yeah, you could receive a prophecy, declare it, process it. I want you to. But realize that other people are going to get prophecies, and you may not on this particular thing. And whatever you do, take what you receive and make it open to the public interpretation.
Right.
So that's two key things for us. As you're receiving insight and words about particularly the future, it's good. But make sure you have people around you that have a heart to hear God. And before you declare it, he says, let your inner circle confirm it. And be open to that and never declare on your own what you think it is before you've processed it publicly with those that have a heart to hear and confirm it. So if you get it, make sure you open it up to others. And then two, if you hear things that people said God said, or this is what the church believes, before you say yes to that, go process it with God.
Right.
Is this really true? Is this what you're saying? Is this how we're supposed to look at this? Have your inner circle help you assist that. And the key is one, God said there's a big consequence to being a false prophet.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Because I do want my body to receive prophecy. I'm going to speak. I'm going to show. I'm going to give vision. I'm going to give dreams. I'm going to give insight. I do want the body to help each other. But be careful that it doesn't become deception,
mm-hmm.
where people claim it's from me, but it's not. And what mm-hmm. I'm suggesting as we go tickly into this election is don't even start now a paradigm of, hey, great, if Trump and that group gets back in power, everything will be great because it'll restore everything. And I would just say be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not to put our faith in a person or a party. Our faith is always in God.
Right.
And what do you have to say about that? And be open to, okay, God, now that this is happening, now that we see this, how do you want me to view it? What do you want my role to be? How do you want me to participate in this? And I pray, God, never let me put my faith in anything other than you.
Right. Right.
And declare, oh, good, now we got this and it's all going to work because it's still human, it's still of the world, it's still trouble. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
So I'm going to keep going to God. You know, what do you have to say? So I would just urge everybody, and we just wanted to kind of bring that up given what's happened and the reaction to what's happened is keep going to God. Keep going to God and don't let others tell you what is without you going to God.
Right. I would even add to that. I love the direction you took all of this. But I would add to that, as you find yourself tempted to go to that or anything else, ask God to show you what's in your heart that is driving you there.
Yeah.
And begin to reveal to you, because all of these things are places that he can use to refine your heart and make you look more like him. And so as some of the ugliness perhaps comes up, or you find yourself quickly wanting to jump on this train, God, what's at the heart? Why am I drawn to that? And show me what needs to be refined. Because remember, in the big, you know, the meta narrative of the Bible, it's all about God and his story of redemption and love. And so we are joining that story, and we want to be cooperating with his redemption of all people, right?
Yeah, and not to be drawn into foolish disputes. So that if somebody did challenge you, like, man, I'm not so sure about that, it would be, okay, let me consider that.
Right.
Let me go to God, as opposed to now getting hard-hearted and fighting it, arguing with it, is you're wrong and I'm right. And, you know, you say that, you know, Trump isn't all this, and I think he is, so I'm going to fight you on that. As opposed to, well, okay, I appreciate your position. Let's go to God together. Let's go see what he has to say. Maybe some things you're saying are true, and I'm willing to receive it. Because what that does, see, is it puts us in that place of humility.
Yes.
And that's what keeps us in peace and honor and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Your suggestion even about the debate is, well, it's okay to have a position on it, but make sure you approach it with a heart of
yes.
shalom and honor and respect as we approach each other, particularly those approaches. So, Father, we thank you for this word and warning about false prophets, and that we don't want to have people that reinforce things that we want to believe, but rather we really want to hear from you and give us a clarity about things and not a trust in the world or the world systems or even politics of any kind, but rather to keep trusting you and being led by you, particularly as things get tricky. So we praise you and we thank you for that admonition, and may we all receive it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Discernment's so important right now.
Yep.
So thanks so much. And we look forward to seeing you guys next time. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com. We'll see you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth in this world. chaos.